Grow Great, the podcast. Welcome to episode one of Leadership Challenges. No, it's the Grow Great podcast. You're at the right place. I'm going to do a new segment, new show that's going to be incorporated right here in this feed. So no need to subscribe to anything else. Grow Great podcast. Occasionally I'm going to do a leadership challenge. This is the first of what I hope are many episodes in the future. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here at Grow Great. You can go to the website, find out more at growgreat.com. I'll warn you, I'm battling serious congestion, head cold, chest cold, so we'll see how the voice holds up. The good thing is I kind of have that Barry White thing going, got the low voice. People aren't always honest with the CEO, his people, his trusted advisors. They're not dishonest. They're just not always forthcoming. They're just not always candid. It was magnified the other day when the CEO dispatched a small group of people to survey the troops. A couple of years ago or so, he'd read a book and he got a little bit preoccupied about employee engagement and culture. And it prompted him to think about his own company's culture. And that prompted him to really dig in and find out, how's the culture faring? How are our employees engaged? Are they engaged? And he's anxious to discover how things are going. Pretty confident that the morale is going to be fairly high. I mean, you know, not everybody's going to be happy. He knows that. Pretty confident that the people in the organization, they're going to see the organization very much as he sees it. High performing, hard charging. It's a winning team. So three junior executives, they have been assigned to find out how people are feeling about their work, their leadership, their future, the organization, blah, blah, blah. A few thousand bucks have been invested to get a survey from a consulting outfit that specializes in employee engagement and organizational culture. There are just under 400 employees to survey, 385 to be exact. That includes about 50 part-time people. So this is going to take a while. But the CEO is anxious and he schedules some time with this three-man survey team each Friday morning to get updates. He wants a weekly update. Well, after week one, the team has determined this project is going to take probably about 45 days or so to complete. But the initial results are in. They're not favorable. So the three junior executives, they've been nervous about this project anyway. They're just thankful that it's a survey purchased by the chief. I mean, the CEO himself, along with HR and some of his right-hand lieutenants, they selected this. So they feel good about that. They feel good that it's, you know, the onus isn't on them. The results are just, they're going to be what they are. And these junior leaders know they're simply going to be messengers of that news, whatever it may be. Just 58 surveys have been completed. And so far, they do have a universal theme. People are unhappy. I mean, people are really unhappy. They feel underappreciated. Many of them feel underpaid. Most report that their leaders do nothing more than lean on them to do more, do better, work harder, be faster, do it with less money. The survey team huddles late Thursday afternoon because tomorrow morning, Friday morning, they're going to have to go in and report to the chief, and it ain't good. I mean, the CEO, he can become agitated sometimes with little or no provocation. And so there's high anxiety amongst these three junior executives. They decide their best course of action is just going to be to present the facts of the survey without commentary. I mean, come on. You can't get in trouble if you keep your mouth shut. So Friday morning arrives. They walk into the CEO's office. They take a seat around his conference room table. And he offers them coffee as they settle in. It's obvious that he's anxious. He can't wait to find out the early result. In fact, he seems pumped. Now, yesterday, the team had already selected Billy. Billy, he needs to be the one leading this parade because he's the right guy for the job. The CEO kind of likes him. He likes us all, but he seems to kind of like Billy maybe a little bit more. And Billy's good on his feet. He really handles himself well in real-time situations, more so than the others, and just seems to be the right guy for the job. So Billy prefaces the presentation and handing the CEO this binder of early results by first just regurgitating the facts. We've surveyed 58 employees so far, all of them full-time, ranging from supervisors to executives. All results are anonymous, so we can obtain the most valid results possible in accordance with the survey guidelines. These results represent only 15.07% of our total workforce, including part-time staff. And with that, he hands the CEO the binder. Now, this binder consists of a few pages early on of, well, there's infographics, there's pie charts, there's all that stuff. To just kind of give you an overview, a general sense of it all, and then behind that are a bit more details. And nothing that would give away anybody's identity, but just quotes, answers to specific questions. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of data. And it's done in a way, supposedly, where you can't reverse engineer and kind of figure out, well, I wonder who said this. So, and everybody's kind of read these guidelines that's done the survey. Anyway, it all seems to be way above board. And, you know, there's not a lot of hocus pocus here. Well, as he's looking over the first few pages, the smile just leaves the CEO's face. I mean, instantly. You know that look you get when you're first getting a headache? You just kind of squint your eyes. Your brow is furrowed, and you certainly don't have a smile on your face. Yeah, he looks like that. He looks like that. Now, they are fearful he's going to get defensive because he can kind of do that. And thankfully, yesterday, they did spend a significant amount of time together rehearsing what he might do, what he might say. And best they could, I mean, they think they have played out, man, just every conceivable scenario, except the one that really happens. And so the CEO says, Billy, tell me what you really think. Oh, crap. I mean, you know, Billy's caught completely off guard. Janet and Brad, the other two members of this survey team, they're just, you can just see the nausea come over them. They're anticipating being asked to follow Billy in answering the same question. I mean, they're hoping against hope that it won't happen, but they're fearful that it will. And Billy, proving that he's good on his feet, says, sir, it's too early for me to have any real valid thoughts. Cut the crap, Billy. I know you've got a thought, and I know that a 15% sampling isn't necessarily a full picture, but let me ask you, is this 15% representative of people in most areas of our company? Yes, sir, it is, says Billy. Yes, sir, it is. This 15% represents people from all sectors of our organization, except it doesn't contain any feedback from part-time workers. Then tell me what's happening, Billy. You can just, there. It's the squirming. You haven't seen little kids squirm more. But Billy rises to the occasion. Sir, I honestly would rather wait until we have more data. Well, now this goes on for a little bit until the CEO has what he thinks is an epiphany. It dawns on him, Billy isn't wanting to tell him what he really thinks. And in a flash, the CEO says, Billy, what are you afraid of? You afraid I can't handle what's really happening out there? And Billy's unflappable now. Billy's a junior executive, but he's got senior executive potential, and you can tell because here's his answer. Sir, I wouldn't want to speculate. And I certainly wouldn't want to give you incorrect data. See, I told you he was good on his feet. Well, the CEO, he dismisses this group. But his Friday is shot. I mean, this is his first meeting out of the gate. And his emotions go from anger to frustration to resentment and all in about 10 minutes. I mean, he's feeling it all. Within 15 minutes of the survey team leaving the CEO's office, now he's got three VPs in his office sitting right where the survey team sat. And he tells them what he's learned. And he's pacing. He tosses a single copy of these early results onto the table in the middle of these guys. And he goes on a rant. And during his rant, they're glancing at the first few pages. They're just trying to make sense of the pie chart and these other diagrams. And yeah, okay, it's obvious these aren't good results. And finally, one VP pipes up and he says, this is just 15% of the workforce. Let's wait and see how things are when we have more data. And the others chime in. Yeah, that's a good idea. And the best course of action is to wait, yada, yada, yada. Way too early to assume that this represents the sentiment of everybody. And then it happens. The same thing that happened to Billy. Except this time, these are VPs. These aren't junior executives. Gentlemen, I want to know what each of you think is happening. Oh, crap. He's going to put us all on the spot. I want to know if you think this properly depicts what's happening in our culture. Well, now they tried Billy's tactic, but that ain't going to work for them because they're not junior executives and he's not going to be as easy on them. The room gets quiet. Frank is the VP in charge of marketing and sales. He's been with the company for about 6 years. He's a seasoned, let's describe, he's even weather beaten. I mean, the guy's got chops. The guy's got skins on the wall. About 8 years younger than the CEO. He knows he's well regarded throughout the company, including the office of the CEO. And maybe there's something to the fact that marketing and sales is his deal. I don't know. But he breaks the silence. Sir, if I might, please, Frank, let's hear it. And Frank goes on to tell him, let's examine what we've done so far and what led us to this place. For over a year, we've been wanting to improve our culture, fearful that we were headed in a direction that might steer us away from being the organization we'd most like to be. Employee engagement has been a constant focus, rightfully so. We have questioned how engaged our employees are. We have questioned if our culture is fit enough to get us to the next level. So we invested almost 10 grand in this survey tool in order to at long last see if we could get a better handle on what's really going on. As leaders, we solve problems. First, we have to understand the problem to be solved. Else, we just act like bulls in a china closet, and none of us want to damage the china. So we're finding out what our people really think and how they really feel. Sir, may I give you one word that I think may best illustrate what may be our initial problem with all this? Yeah, of course. Give it to me, Frank. The word is safety, sir. You asked about my thoughts. In my judgment, we're experiencing data that has somewhat blindsided us because our employees don't feel safe. I don't mean our workplace is physically unsafe. It's very safe. But I mean emotionally safe, where people can tell us the truth. I reiterate to our sales and marketing teams all the time that our prospects are only going to become customers if we can first make them feel safe. After that, we've got to earn their trust. If we earn their trust, then we have to work on having influence on them. And every time we short circuit that process, we fail. If we can't make a prospect feel safe, then we've got no influence with them. If they don't trust us, we can't influence them. And the only way to trust is safety. Our prospects have to know we have their best interest at heart. Even though we do want to make the sale, we want to make a sale to be what works best for our customers. I don't see any difference between our prospects and our employees. First, we need to lead them in a way that makes them feel safe. And that needs to come from making them know we have their best interest at heart. Seems to me we failed on that front. The good news is, if the other results are consistent with these results, then we can begin today working on a plan to fix this. Isn't that why we commissioned this survey to begin with? The CEO is real quiet. He has been real attentive during this. You can just almost see the wheels turning in his head. It's making sense to him. He asked the other VPs if they agree. Yes, of course they agree. I mean, come on, Frank has articulated it pretty well. There's not much more conversation. He dismisses the group. Now he's alone. He's reflecting on what the results have been. He's reflecting on what Frank has said. His anger gives place now to sadness. Yeah, there's a few phone calls. He has another short meeting with somebody. He's not engaged with it. He doesn't remember much about what's said. He's preoccupied. He's thinking about that 15.07% of his workforce who feel taxed and underappreciated. And you know what? He's pretty confident. He's pretty confident that 100% of the survey, it's likely going to look the same. And he's wondering, how did it get this way? This isn't what I ever intended. This isn't what I wanted. I just wanted a high-performing organization. And he had one, or so he thought. And truth is, these people are doing great work. They are high-performing. And he begins to wonder how high-performing people can feel so badly about their work and their organization. Yeah, and then he does what great leaders do. He begins to think about what's possible. He walks out of his office, down the hall to Frank's office, knocks on the door. You got a minute? Yeah, of course. And for 20 minutes, the men exchange no data. They just talk. They just talk about what the CEO most wanted. Employees who feel alive at work. People who feel supported to do their very best work. The best work of their lives. And the CEO listened to Frank, the first person willing to tell him candidly what he needed to hear. At least the first person in a long time. Frank was encouraging. Frank was proactive. He suggested that the CEO allow he and his peers to take some time while they're gathering all this other data, of course, to figure out real life answers, things real people can do, as Frank put it. And before the CEO left Frank's office, Frank said something that seemed to hit it squarely on the head. And here's what he said. Let's consider how valuable the truth is. If we can make our people feel safe, think of the enormous benefits we'll have in the market. When we know the truth, we'll be able to be more proactive, to be more innovative, to be world class. This may be the greatest day of my career here. We've just discovered an untapped resource of power that we didn't even know we had. I say, sir, we capitalize on it, and we make connecting with our people the priority of our leadership. And there you have it. Safety first. I hope it provokes you to think, whatever your role of leadership may be, whether you're in the C-suite or somewhere else, safety first. And think of the power that truth will present to your business, to your organization. My name is Randy Cantrell. You can find more about me and what I do by going to growgreat.com. Tell a friend, share the word. Hey, even give me a solid review over at iTunes if you care. I appreciate you listening. Thank you. Thank you very much for your time and your attention. It means a lot to me. Have a good week.